Hello and welcome to the United States of Soccer, the number one soccer podcast where the boys talk everything Premier League, Major League Soccer, and USL. My name is Michael Willis at Carefree Willis on Twitter. I'm joined as always by Brian Mitchell at Brian Mitchell on Twitter, at producer Alex 23 in the back, and return to the show,
Dion.
What's up, dude?
What's going on, fellas?
Dude, I am stoked to have you back on. If you guys do not know, you should know. Dion, this is third time on?
I should know that. I think it is.
Third time on. Dion runs his own YouTube show, YouTube platform.
He's got 1 million subscribers. Yeah,
he's getting there.
I wish.
He's getting there. Show has been growing since the beginning of the season at Nerdy Soccer Guy on at YouTube. YouTube.com/Nerdy Soccer Guy. This is the man right here. It's our MLS expert. And we're here to talk MLS and a couple transfers.
Oh yeah.
Dion just went to Nashville. How was that, dude? Nashville SC took on St. Louis City. St. Louis lost, but we'll talk about that later. How was Nashville, dude? How was that whole experience? First MLS game, dude.
Yeah, it was awesome. I've been to multiple Pittsburgh Riverhounds games for the USL. I have always just sat in regular seats, but I decided when we were going to Nashville that I was going to get supporter section. I will never sit in a regular seat again. I will stand in the supporter section no matter where I go. It was just, everyone was rowdy. It was a great time. No issues. There's a couple of St. Louis fans that must have purchased supporter tickets, and they started to walk down, and it was a no-go. Like, as soon as they started walking, people were booing them, telling them, get back. And then, like, no one was, like, throwing anything at them. It was just, it got loud and booed.
Yeah.
And then they left, and they set them somewhere else. But it was a really good time. The fans were awesome. I couldn't say anything one thing bad about the fans at all. The one thing that I was not ready for, and my wife was really not ready for, is when they scored, you get drenched in alcohol.
Oh.
Beers and water go flying everywhere.
That's amazing.
And you're soaked.
Yeah.
But it's fantastic. It was a great time.
Did you watch the guitar riff? Did they put that bad boy out there for everybody?
Yep. They had that at half. Well, that was at the before the game, yeah. Exactly. And they even had like a miniature concert at halftime.
That's dope.
And it's like up in the corner. So like where the supporter section stands, it was like to the left, like right beside us. So you couldn't really see it, but it was right there.
Was this a trip just for this game, or was this like work or anything?
No. So my wife and I wanted to go to Nashville because it is a city that we thought that we might want to move to.
Yeah.
And so we went. We went down to Broadway and all that, and went to the Country Music Hall of Fame. We even went to the Grand Ole Opry.
Nice.
And then, but really, I mean, I booked the tickets to the Nashville game before we got tickets for any of that other stuff.
Yeah, for sure. Sweet. Got to.
It was the most important to me.
Oh, yeah, of course. Exactly. Dude, Nashville is happening, bro. I lived there from 2000 to 2004. So it's way different now than what it was. But my wife and I actually were, before we moved from Virginia Beach back to Richmond, we actually were looking at moving to Nashville as well.
I went there 2 years ago because I went to the USA Canada game.
Oh, nice.
And it is completely different from just two years.
I'm sure. Yeah,
it's very, I don't know if you all have been to Myrtle Beach, but it's like Myrtle Beach without the beach.
Yeah,
like
sure.
Like that touristy. And it kind of made me step back a little bit, but that was just Broadway though. So it's not outside of the, out of that area. So I don't know.
But the game was sweet. The stadium was sweet. Supporters were awesome. Is that your first MLS game, isn't it?
Yeah. First ever MLS game.
Wow. This year, if you haven't, need to go check him out on YouTube. He dropped a, pretty much like a recap video of his time there in Nashville. And for that game, it was awesome. Doing that soon for DC, right? Absolutely.
Oh, I'm down. You guys let me know when you're available. We're going.
I'm actually going to a DC United game.
Oh, you really?
I'm going to see DC United play Inter Miami.
When's that?
It is not this weekend, but next weekend. It's next Saturday. like July 8th.
Unfortunately, Messi probably will not be playing.
I know. Well, what's funny is we got the tickets before. So my brother-in-law works for Dominion as a security guard. He actually got tickets through his company. They have tickets for DC, for DC United. And so he got his tickets for free through his company. And I saw they're playing Inter Miami. This is before they announced Messi. And I was like, and then I was like, wait a minute. I was like, dude, but then I don't think he's playing yet. But
not yet. That's actually pretty stoked though. When it's not middle of summer and I'm dying of sweat in DC, like September, we're definitely
that'll be the time to go. That'll be the time that we
September,
all go.
I'm fine with September. We can go in September.
Same. I'm kind of a little bit not looking forward to the heat. So
all right, let's transition right into what Brian just brought up. Lionel Messi. I'm pretty sure we talked about it on last show. I think you and I both agreed that he's probably going back to Barcelona. That does not happen. Inter Miami get Lionel Messi. They also get Busquets, which I don't think people are talking about enough. If Busquets could come in, and if he's old, it doesn't mean anything. But if he takes it seriously and plays well, like that's a big pickup as well. But how massive is this? Is this Messi to Miami thing?
I think it's going to be huge. I think we agreed that we thought that he would go back to Barcelona for at least another season, and then I could have seen him coming over to MLS. But I think it's huge. I saw a couple of reports that Apple was already seeing, like, they're hitting that subscription mark and all that. And then, you know, it's going to boost it up, especially once he starts. I got a feeling people are going to purchase it at that point in time, too. But not only that, like, Inter Miami fans need to get excited for Tata.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
As the manager. I mean, he won MLS Cup with Atlanta United. And then that's when he left and went to Mexico. So he's a good manager. So not only that, you pick up two good players and a good manager. So Inter Miami might end up making the playoffs this season.
They might make the playoffs because everybody makes the playoffs.
So it's not. Yeah, correct. Yeah.
That's not very true. Ninth seed and up make the playoffs. So 18 teams will make the playoffs. But Inter Miami right now, five wins, no draws, 13 losses.
Ooh.
Dead last. I'm talking the dead last. I'm pretty sure has more losses than anyone in the league. And yes, they do by quite a bit. I mean, they have been absolutely terrible. Mm-mm. Brian, thoughts on Messi? I know we talked about this on our show, but thoughts here now that Deion's here. What are your thoughts on Messi coming in?
Dude, I'm stoked for it. I never thought, honestly, I mean, if you look back even just a couple years ago, I would never have thought it was a possibility for Messi, the biggest name in the sport, basically, you know, arguably, to come to the MLS. It far supersedes, you know, even like David Beckham coming over or anything like that, which David Beckham was huge. But Messi, it's crazy. I'm super stoked for it. I'm super stoked to watch him play. I'm super stoked to watch Inter Miami games and see what he does, because I mean, things would be awesome. And I think Busquets is, again, I agree with you that is not being talked about enough, because Busquets is a huge deal. Like him coming over with Messi, like that's huge too. Massive. So yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's, I'm so stoked for it.
Lionel's gonna get to share the field with one Graham Soucy. That's pretty hyped, dude. The absolute goat of the MLS. That's pretty sweet. I'm pretty stoked on that.
The goat of the MLS. You heard it here first.
So if Messi joins, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 spots back of the playoffs right now. DC United,
11 points.
Yeah, that's a lot.
That's a lot. Yeah,
that's a lot. About around the same amount of points Manchester City caught Arsenal with. So it's a lot of points. We've seen it done.
Good reference.
We've seen it done this season. DC United, Montreal, two teams possibly looking to get jumped there, but this is going to be a pretty wild race to the end. He's gonna start later on. We'll talk about League's Cup in a little bit, but pretty wild that Lionel's coming into the MLS. He's gonna.
Before we move on real quick, where do you guys think Miami will end up?
Oy.
Considering where they are now?
I think they're going to be in the playoffs. I don't think Charlotte's that good. Let me run through the teams for you real quick. So I got Charlotte out of the playoffs, New York, Red Bulls out of the playoffs, both New York teams, actually, Chicago, Toronto. We'll talk about Toronto in a little bit. But we got a bunch of bad teams down there that just have not been very good this year. And then, like I said, DC United, iffy. Montreal, iffy. I think I'm going to go seventh.
All right, Brian.
I feel like that's bold. Wow.
That's very bold. That's a big jump. They're in last right now. Correct? Yeah, I mean, they're completely dead last. I mean, I'm going to say that, what is it, 18 teams that make the playoffs? Yeah,
ninth seed makes the playoffs, so they got to jump all the way up to nine at minimum. If they want
to
make playoffs.
They got to jump to nine?
Do you, if you don't need to make playoffs.
I think they're going to make playoffs. I think my guess is probably right around. I think they'll be the eighth seed.
Eighth?
Yeah.
All right, Dion, what do you think?
I'm going to have to say that they're going to just get that ninth seed.
Okay.
Because I think that it's going to be hard for them to jump DC United and Orlando. I think DC United is going to they're mediocre right now, but I think that they're going to do enough. And I think that Miami could beat Montreal or Charlotte out of that ninth spot.
I'm really excited to see who's right or who's the closest. I wrote them down.
That's a good question. Yeah,
nice. We'll put that up on the Twitter. That's exciting. I think Montreal is a team I'm looking at. I don't really know what Montreal are this year. They're interesting. DC United.
Right now, they're eight wins, nine losses, and two draws.
Crazy.
Wow.
Crazy.
Montreal.
I don't really know how good they are, but we'll see. DC United. I hope Rooney and the boys make the playoffs. Just beat Cincinnati. Cincinnati didn't have a lot of players, but they just beat Cincinnati last week. A big upset. I mean, Rune Dog is getting going over there, man. Absolutely loving it. We'll keep producer Alex will keep track of who picked what and see how close we are at the end of the season. Go follow us on Twitter at US of Soccer Show, and then go follow Dion as well at Nerdy Soccer Guy. Keep up with these early days predictions. He's going to start in League's Cup, which we'll talk about in a little bit. Before we get to that, though, rest of MLS. Atlanta, what's going on, dude? What's up with all this?
What's going on with your boys?
What's up, dude? What is going on, man?
Defense sucks. I mean, I feel like I don't know. It's definitely the back line. I'm sorry. I like Guzan's leadership. He's been a decent goalkeeper his career, but since this last injury, I don't feel like, yeah, he had that one good match against LAFC, but other than that, like, I mean, he's had two goals scored on him in less than a minute in the last three match days. Mm. Not a very good, yeah. Not a very good, but that you can't blame just the goalkeeper.
Yeah, sure.
But defensively, you know, it's crazy to see how much we're missing Miles Robinson.
Yeah. You like, yeah.
And he's going to leave for Europe.
Yeah, for sure. Mm.
At the end of the season,
for sure. You like Giakoumakis up top?
I do like Giakoumakis. I mean, he's good. He's aggressive. There was a couple things that really stood out to me. I even talked about it on the live stream. You know, Almada is this very good player, but has no defense. Yeah. He won't play defense. If you right at the end of the match, and yes, I know that you're losing, you know, 2-3-0. You still have to put up a fight. And he literally lost the ball just outside of our own penalty box. And he just stopped.
Mm. He's got that.
And I'm not a big fan of that. No. I don't, you know, if you get turned over, you got to try to get it back right away.
Right.
Especially if you have a chance. And he was there. He had a chance. He could have tried. And that kind of bums me out that I just feel like a lot of the guys aren't putting forth an effort.
If you were if you weren't on the live stream, you missed out. Dion, usually a pretty calm and polite, cool guy, and when Almada messed up there, I mean that was absolute. I was actually laughing at my house at how angry Dion got. It's four. I think it became four because they scored immediately after that, and it became I think 4-0. And Dion still just mind blown at what was going on over there. But yeah, Atlanta's been interesting, man. Got to find some defense this summer for sure because, man, that defense looked awful. A surprise team for me meant Philadelphia. They lose out on all their midweek games, and now they're just paying attention to the weekend, and they're starting to ball. I mean, this team looks like what everybody kept saying they were in the preseason. You think this is what we're going to see going forward, or you think this is just a here and the now thing?
No, we'll see this going forward. I mean, now they only have, you know, yes, the League's Cup's coming up, but MLS season's put on hold for that. So they only have to focus on this now, and they're going to start balling out like they did last season. I mean, I don't know how much you all paid attention last year to them, but I mean, they balled out last year, and I think that we're going to continue to see them play well.
Yeah, it's going to be that one's interesting, man. I think everything Brian and I read in the preseason was talking about how Philadelphia is going to be this like world beater, and they came out very slow. Toronto, another team that came out very slow, man. Bob Bradley fired. That's got to be awkward for his kid, right? I mean, about can't time. Not be. Right? Like Michael Bradley's got to be, right?
Retro.
Michael Bradley's like, thank goodness.
Yeah, thank God he's not around anymore.
That guy sucks.
Like, it's got to be super awkward. But Bob Bradley gone. Have they announced a replacement yet? Do we know what they're going?
I think that they appointed one of their current staff members as an interim. I think that his like second in line, they fired him too. Yeah. So
kicked the whole squad out.
Yeah, I mean, at that point in time, yeah. Whenever you have players like Insigne, Bernadeschi, like, and then, you know, Sapong didn't do much in Nashville. But like whenever you have two people to feed you the ball, like Insigne and Bernadeschi, yeah. Like you're gonna be able to score, and I think that he could. It just the tactics are wrong, and you should be winning games with that kind of star power in MLS.
Is Bob Bradley a good coach? I mean, I think a lot of MLS fans will go into because he was at LAFC right before this.
Yeah, he has a pretty good track record.
I know he.
Yeah, but
where was he at
he sucked it up.
Where was he at in England? Was he at Swansea? I believe it was Swansea.
Was it Swansea?
I think it was Swansea.
Everybody
kept picking on. Producer Alex is probably typing away right now, looking this up.
Yes, Swansea City in 2016.
Okay, yeah, nice. He was terrible. He was absolutely terrible.
No, he did horrible. I was not a fan of him when he was coaching.
Dion's trying to take my job.
He's like on his computer, like, blah, 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 blah. I got it.
Yeah, Bob Bradley, man, was absolutely terrible over there.
He was not good.
It's pretty wild to see that Toronto's just two games, 4 points above Inter Miami at rock bottom. I mean, that is absolutely wild. You went to Nashville. How do you think this team's going to start turning around after, you know, in the second half of the season here?
Which team? Toronto?
Nashville, sorry.
Oh, Nashville. I mean, they won at home for that game, and then they played on the road and lost both of them. It's one of those things. I think that they need to bring in another scorer.
Oh yeah,
I feel like
big time. I totally agree.
Bring in a striker.
Yep.
If they could bring in a striker, I think that they would do pretty well.
Yeah, Mukhtar can't do it on his own, man.
No, Mukhtar can't do it.
You know, yeah.
I mean, Schaufelberg's doing great.
Right.
You know, he's doing pretty good.
Sure.
But you got to have just a little bit more. I mean, they're sitting at third in the East.
Wild.
So, like, I have no doubt that they'll make the playoffs. Yeah. And I think that they will continue to be in that top four in the East. But I think if they got a striker, we would be saying that they would be second or third.
Yeah.
Because I got a feeling that no one's going to catch Cincinnati.
Yeah, right. Sure. I agree. Nashville beat Dallas 2-1, drew with Toronto, beat St. Louis, and then lose to Montreal and Columbus by a combined score of 3-0. They haven't scored in 2 weeks. That's crying out for a striker. Brian, who should Nashville go get?
Firmino.
Yeah, looks like he's going off to Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, no.
What's up with that, dude? They got all the money over there. Mm. Yeah, man, Cincinnati's probably my favorite team this season. I mean, outside of my own, obviously, St. Louis, but I've loved watching this Cincinnati team. They've been awesome, man. Lucian Acosta, I keep bringing it up every week on our show.
Yeah.
I love this guy. I love watching him
play. He's so good, though, man.
He can't do it on his own. I mean, they just took on DC United and got killed, but because they're missing a lot of people. What do you think about that? Midweek, I mean, I'm not midweek, weekend games that it's like international duties, you know, usually over in England and everywhere they stop play, but I know they got League's Cup. I know they're stopping the season, so they can't stop at all times, but I find that so strange when I got international games coming on and I've still got,
yeah,
you know, they take all the players from the league and it's got to kill the league, right? And
they've always done that. Wild. I mean, that's the thing. They, I'm pretty sure MLS has always done that. And I don't know why either, because it's not, you know, it's not really fair.
No,
like,
no, it's not.
You know, you're putting in third, fourth string people, calling people up from your second team, you know, that plays in USL or MLS next. Like, yeah, I don't agree with it. I think that they should do some stoppage. But at the same time, I mean, like you said, between the regular season of, I think they play 34 matches or something like that, total each team, and then you have the League's Cup in there, and then some of those teams are playing, you know, the Champions League. That's a lot of games.
And
in a short period of time.
Exactly. And I think, and for me, I think, like, you know, I think one of the biggest complaints, or one of the biggest kind of things about MLS as compared to, you know, like Premier League, stuff like that, we were talking about, like, the drop off in, like, quality. And so it's like, well, yeah, if you're tuning in to watch a game on an international break where, like, all your big name players are gone, then, like, yeah, you're seeing another drop in quality as well. So it's like, I just don't feel like that does anything beneficial for the MLS in my mind by having the games continue to go on an international break.
It's like a preseason football game. It's like,
right,
you got the scrubs in.
Yeah. Right.
It's not, it is, it's only but so interesting.
Exactly. So it's just a whole nother drop in quality. So I'm like, just to me, it does nothing but hurt you, actually, in my mind. So I don't know.
Yeah. It's pretty wild. I mean, Cincinnati would kill DC any other weekend, and DC United get, I mean, that was the surprise last weekend, but it really should be, because outside of Lucian Acosta, I think they only had two other starters playing, which is wild, just absolutely wild.
Yeah, that is.
I don't think it'll ever not blow my mind that they don't pause. Maybe that's coming up later on after this, you know, after, you know, they had a World Cup. I mean, this doesn't affect the World Cup, actually. They got League's Cup coming up. You get what I'm saying. Maybe they'll change that around and fix that, but it's just strange to see right now. Let's move on to the West, dude. Let's talk about why St. Louis City might be the greatest team to ever
show
up.
Oh, boy,
dude.
Here we go.
The greatest of all time. Ten,
he said, wow.
10 wins, 2 draws, 7 losses. I mean, this is this team is absolutely buzzing right now. I don't know if you saw this over the weekend, but they had a striker who was out of San Antonio. And I will get his name in a quick second. Sam, I'm going to butcher his last name. Apologies. Sam Adeniran.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
I think I crushed that.
Oh, yeah.
He's a St. Louis loanee out to San Antonio. They recalled him on, like, Wednesday. He came in and scored both goals for them over the weekend, which nuts. That's wild.
Like, yeah, that's wild.
That's an awesome. Those are the stories we need to keep talking about.
True.
And for some reason, no one talked about it. I feel like I was being a homer a little bit, because it was I picked this team at the beginning of the season, but I was like, hey, this is a W for the MLS right here. Like,
absolutely.
We just pulled the kid up from a loan system, and he came in and he scored damn near immediately. I mean, we killed San Jose, who were, I think, undefeated at home this season.
I believe so. Something like that.
I beat them undefeated at beat San Jose, who's undefeated at home, which is, we're going to talk about San Jose in a minute. You told me stay away from San Jose. And this they beat San Jose.
Bring that up.
They beat San Jose 2-1. I mean, this is pretty wild, man. St. Louis City. Anybody else in the West you've been super surprised about? I mean, obviously everybody's going to talk about St. Louis because they're the new one. But outside of that team, anybody else in the West that you've been stunned at?
Well, San Jose.
Yeah.
I mean, they're doing really well. You know, in seasons past, they have not. You know, but yeah, they have surprised me of how good they're doing. And then Houston's looking pretty good. And Houston's not usually that great of a team in the West either. And they're looking pretty solid.
Good at home, bad on the road, Houston. Is that right, or is it the other way around? Yeah, it's wild. It's actually wild what Houston's been doing right now. For some reason, I feel this is just a Mike Willis thing. Houston and Dallas are the two most boring teams in the league for me. I just get so, just so out of it when I'm watching those games. But another one that I'm stunned at, man, Salt Lake City. I don't think they're very good, but somehow they keep, like, winning these random games that I expect them to get crushed in.
They're better on the road than they are at home. Crazy. I feel like.
That's crazy. So weird.
I know.
I mean, two weeks in a row, I picked against them when they were on the road, and they won both of those freaking games. So, yeah, they're good on the road, which is hard to believe because exactly. I think it's hard to play on the road in MLS.
Yeah, sure,
for sure,
100%.
They have five away wins and only two home.
Yeah,
wins.
That's absolutely nuts. How awesome is it that LA Galaxy suck? I think it's awesome.
I love it. To be honest.
Carson City.
Absolutely love it. If you're an LA Galaxy fan, T's and P's.
T's and P's. That's right.
This is not a. We are not fans of LA over here.
They're all LAFC fans by now.
That's probably true.
Oh, yeah. Everyone's cheering.
They've all jumped to LAFC.
I always kind of liked them more.
Anyways.
But big jump. Next year when the Galaxy are killing it, they'll jump back. We'll see how that goes and everything like that. Austin, though, man, what are your thoughts about Austin? You know, Driussi is not, I think he's coming back from injury soon, but this team is an interesting one. It's another one that at the beginning of the season, everybody said was going to be, not world beaters, but they were going to be good. And then another one that's been a bit weird. That Wolf, the coach's son, Wolf, I think is his last name. I like him a lot, man. I think this is a good young guy. We'll talk about the USA men's national team here in a second, but I think he's another one to keep an eye out for. He's been solid. Every time he's been called, I think he's super young too. I think he's like 18. Every time he's been called upon.
Him and his brother, Wolf that plays on Atlanta.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. Been very good. I think they're solid, man. Like, they don't get talked about enough. But what's up with this Austin team, man? Like, why do they sometimes stink, sometimes don't stink? Let me tell you, they beat Houston 3-0 hilariously this past weekend, beat Dallas 3-0, lost to Sporting Kansas City, who was terrible at the beginning of the season. Lost to Real Salt Lake at home, and then beat Minnesota United. But I mean, that's their last five. It's just an all over last five. You know what I mean?
I mean that. Yeah. I mean, because they were kind of like Philadelphia Union. They didn't bring in a lot of people, and they didn't get rid of a lot of people, and especially their like bigger name players. They kept them. So yeah, we all thought Austin was going to, you know, be at the top with LAFC and I think injuries and then maybe even the whole thing with Reyna.
Yeah.
Maybe with him being dismissed, you know, maybe something at the beginning of the season happened with that. I don't know. I mean, that's just something I'm trying to think of because they shouldn't be. I mean, yeah, they have injuries like Driussi has been out on injury, but yeah, I don't know why they're, you know.
It's a strange one.
What changed?
Absolutely. It's an absolute strange one. I don't think I texted you this. I'm going to right now, actually. Did you see the fan that was chilling at Austin?
Oh, boy.
You have no idea what I'm talking about, Dion?
No.
Don't you worry. I'll text it to you right now, and you can have a good laugh. This guy, Austin's thing is, what is it, Alex? Keep Austin. What?
Weird.
Baby. And this guy, strange. You got to take a look at that, dude.
That's the one you shared with us.
Yeah, it is the one with you guys. Yeah. This guy's tattoo was something. It was something over there. Did you get it? This is bad.
Dion's face was priceless. Yes. Right there.
Not great podcasting, but I had to do it. I mean, this is one of the funnier things in the world. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's zooming in. There it is.
I'm speechless. Yeah. I'm bringing it up and everything. Like, what am I looking at here?
For all you people listening on the, on our Twitter at the US of Soccer Show, I will put up this picture for the drop of this episode so you can see what's going on here. Cause this guy's awesome. When they were playing the game, when they were showing the game, they cut over to this dude. And it was a very quick, came into screen with his tattoo. It was very quick, get away from him.
Yeah.
It was like immediately get away from this guy.
It's like they realized. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Whoa, okay, no.
Demon producer titties, was like,
whoa, 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 move.
Don't show the demon titties.
That's right. Who were your early predictions? Who were your preseason predictions in the East and West? I don't remember, man. I should have looked back.
I think in the West was definitely Austin and L.A., I believe.
Was it really?
And then the East, I did have Cincinnati up there because I really liked what Pat Noonan and them were doing last season at the end of the season. So I did have Cincinnati, and I think I had Philadelphia up there. And then I think I had Atlanta like fourth. I still like
the Philadelphia. I think Philadelphia are going to start really turning it on at the end of the year. I'm very confident in that one. Austin, that's a bit, I don't know. Who do you think right now, early mid-ish season? We're 20-something games in. That's wild.
Yeah, it is.
That is wild. If you haven't been coming to hang out, you need to come hang out on Dion's YouTube live shows every weekend when for these games. They are absolutely electric and makes the game significantly more entertaining. I've been on these for like almost 15 of them, man. I mean, it's wild to think about that we've been doing. You know, this season's moving quick. Who do you think right now, mid season form? Who do you think is coming out east and west right now? Who are you most confident about?
You want all nine or just
no? Just the top two, east and west. Who do you think is coming out? Best two teams out of east and west.
I think for sure in the east it's Cincinnati, and then I think Philadelphia is going to jump Nashville and the Revs.
Really?
I think that's going to be number two.
Love that. What about the West?
The West is such a close race. I mean, it really is because
we don't know what Seattle are. We don't know. I mean, Houston is iffy at home and iffy on the road. So we don't have any idea. I mean, literally after LA, and we still don't really know what we've seen St. Louis be inconsistent. So after LAFC, we really don't have a clear number two. I know St. Louis is number one right now, but the West is wide open.
It really, yeah. I mean, because just in the top, well, really the top six, they're all within like 5 points of each other.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. 5 points of each other. Because you have three teams that's sitting at 27 points. Seattle has 29, and then LAFC and St. Louis both have 32.
Yeah, and these 5 points is nothing in the MLS.
No, it's not. So I would have to say, like, right now, I think, because St. Louis, who's missing from St. Louis right now on injury?
We got my man up top, Klaus.
Yes.
Yeah, Klaus.
Klaus, yes. I kept wanting to say Lowen, and I knew it wasn't.
Yeah, Lowen's playing. But Klaus.
You know, if you guys get him back, yeah. And I know that you're talking about current form. I think when he comes back, I think St. Louis is going to be in the top two. And I think LAFC will be that other one.
The month out.
Unless Seattle decide to wake up.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Say enough's enough and we're going to be the Seattle that we're used to being.
I like.
But yeah, I would have to say St. Louis and LAFC.
I like those picks. I really do think that's spot on. That month off is going to be solid for a lot of these guys that aren't playing in that League's Cup thing. Cause I think it's a lot. I mean, there'll be some kind of, you know, desire from some of these owners to be the first ever League's Cup winner, but there'll also be a lot of these coaches that go, hey, we can take a moment here to just, you know, pump the brakes, place, you know, put some of our starters on the bench. Brian, what do you think about those picks right there? Anybody in the East and West that you like coming out of?
I mean, I think they're, I don't necessarily. I think the only one that I'm curious about that I'm not 100%, but again, I'm not as attuned to MLS yet. It's just Philadelphia. I don't know. I'm interested. I mean, I know they could obviously wake up, and I know Dion that you're saying that you think they'll kind of be balling out. And I haven't paid like super close attention to Philadelphia this season, really, in depth. But what is it that changed for them that now they're balling out? Were they plagued with injuries, or was it just they're just clicking now?
I don't know if they really had any injuries,
because I don't remember like any significant that I can think of. So that's why I'm like, why are they just balling out now all of a sudden? That's like me questioning them. I'm like, why is it just all of a sudden clicking when you haven't really, you know, you didn't really make much changes from last year, like you said. You know, you said they kind of had the same lineup. So I'm just, I don't know. It's weird to me. Philadelphia's the one I'm a little iffy on, but I understand the other picks. I understand St. Louis and LAFC completely. So, but yeah, I mean, I don't necessarily disagree with those picks. I think Philadelphia's the one that I'm like, I think I'm a little like, I could see them maybe, you know, not keeping in form and just kind of surprising everyone and just not doing as well as everyone thought early on.
You don't like Columbus?
Oh yeah, I like Columbus. I think that they can make a run. Zalarayan is just
so good,
unbelievable. And then Aiden Morris has come out of nowhere.
What do you think about that Zalarayan half field volley the other week? Man, wasn't that nuts?
That's pretty nice. That's pretty nice.
I mean, that's got to be electric, absolutely electric. That's a lot of MLS has been absolutely awesome. Good season so far, right?
Yeah, I agree. Here's a question for you.
Go on.
Which conference do you think's better right now? Do you think the East or the West?
I think the Western Conference is better because I don't know what the hell is going to happen. But I think the Eastern Conference has so many better teams. I think it's clear as day the winner of this is going to come out of the. You know what? You can look at this two ways. If I think there's someone from the East is going to come out and win this whole thing. But you could also look at it and be like, the East is so stacked they might tire themselves out. And then one of these guys out of the West is going to beat everybody else up, and they're going to have an easy run to the finals. But I've liked watching even Austin. Like, it's as weird as it sounds, I've liked watching more Western Conference teams this season because it's like it just seems like I don't have any idea who is who in the West. Like I said, for me, it's like St. Louis has been a bit of a roller coaster because they've had a couple injuries. LAFC have been very good. I don't have much to knock on LAFC. I do not know what Seattle is. I really like San Jose, man. I really like this San Jose team. I don't know what Seattle with Salt Lake are. Dallas, Austin, love Vancouver. Brian White's get this guy over to St. Louis. I love this dude. Tough. I'll be honest. Tough staying up until 12 o'clock in the morning to watch these games. But when Dion had one of his streams at like 10:30 at night, I don't remember what game. I think it was a St. Louis game. We stayed up until about 1 o'clock to watch this game. It was awesome. I'm not knocking it, but it's tough on the East Coast. You know what I mean? You're watching from 4:30 all the way to 1 a.m.
Yeah,
it's a tough watch. But Brian White's been absolutely electric this year. So the West has been wild for me, man. But I do think I really like New England in the East. I do like Philadelphia. I like this Columbus team. Love Cincinnati. I think one of those are going to come out of the East. But this West team this Western Conference is just, like I said, it's all over the place, man. Do you have a favorite? Do you prefer like the Eastern Conference or the Western Conference?
Well, I think that, so real quick, just a fun fact. There's five teams in the East that have a 10 plus goal difference, and there's only one in the West.
Wow.
That have a 10 that like. So the East is kind of scoring some goals.
Yeah.
I think that I tend more to the East. Yeah. I think that the East is definitely better this year. Like, they're stronger. But I tend to the East because you pretty much now, you know, hit it on the head with staying up until one. It's hard to stay up and watch those Western Conference games.
Yeah, it's tough. It's
for
tough
being an East Coaster. So, I mean, I prefer watching the East.
Yeah.
But I think that they are the better side. But like you said, you know, with them being so competitive, especially when the playoffs hit, you know, there might be a Western Conference team that's just better than, you know, way above everyone else and just walks on into the, you know, the MLS Cup and here the Eastern Conference, you know, the fatigue and stuff.
It'll be interesting to see which Western Conference team picks it up second half of the season, but I can see a world where it stays like this and then LAFC have a coast to the MLS Cup final and then the Eastern teams are truly battling it out over there. So it's going to be I've loved it, man. Loved this season. Still high on Apple TV. Yes. No negativity. Still high on Apple TV.
I like it so far still. Same. I have no... still the biggest complaint, which I think we'll all complain about until we know it's never going to go away, though, is commercials during 360.
What is that?
So many times in the live stream, we're all sitting there and we have that's what I like about the live stream is we have people watching different games and tuning into the live stream.
Yeah, right.
So like we get score updates and then we can't see. And then I look over to see the goal to react to it and it's freaking commercial.
Yeah.
So. Yep. I think that is my only complaint. I feel like the audio, well, I haven't really listened to it that much. Like, I'll listen to the pregame and stuff, but, like, once the game starts, I can't listen to it because I don't want to get copyrighted.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't put headphones in. But, I, you know, visually, it's fantastic still. I enjoy it.
Yeah, the commercial things is the only thing for me. I did get it to finally hide the scores for me, by the way, because I did have that complaint early on where I was I couldn't get it to hide the scores.
Yeah.
So I was going to watch a game. I'd already know who won and stuff, but I did get it to work. So I don't know if it was just a setting on me or if they updated it because I did finally get it to work, though. So
I've loved Apple TV. There's been a lot of – I've seen the complaints on Twitter and everything. I personally have not dealt with any sound issues.
I haven't either. Every time I've watched it, and the sound's been great. Yeah,
fine. I've only had one. There was one. I think it was like Universal. Like everybody blacked out for a moment during like a late game. I think something like that. But I mean, these are the hiccups that are going to happen. They're figuring it out. I'm not that.
And how about them dropping to half price? Half of the season left plus you get leagues up. It's really a deal now. If you're wanting to get into it, like this is the time because you get second half of the season. Plus playoffs, plus League's Cup for half
the price. Or if you get T-Mobile, you get it for free.
That's
T-Mobile free. Yes.
I can't say this enough. We are not sponsored by Apple. We should be. That would be awesome.
That would be amazing.
You could send that on over to Dion, Brian, Alex, and myself. We are all Apple guys. That would be so awesome.
I would love it.
But seriously, the fact that they dropped, that's all, because no one else is doing that. Nobody else is doing that.
Yeah.
The fact that they dropped price a half down when half the season's left, like that's awesome. Like that is awesome.
Yeah.
Dion brought up his stream. One of the funny things that Dion stream, again, if you're not checking it out, www.youtube.com/nerdysoccerguy. Come check these out every weekend. One of the funny things he brought up was that he has, ever since Messi came, he's had like two new Inter Miami fans in that stream, which is awesome. But these guys, there's so many people that come in, they watch other games, but they're tuning into Dion's stream and they'll let us know. And I'm always watching the game that Dion's watching. And then I'll have a couple other games. I got a 3 TV set up here. I don't know if you know that or not. So I'm rolling over here, Dion. But I'll always have Dion's game on TV. I'll have Dion on my computer, and then I got two other games on. But it's hilarious that there's so many people in the chat that will tell us what happened in another game, and then we'll look over Dion and myself at the same time. We'll look over at MLS 360, and it'll be commercial. And obviously he can't hear me, and I'll go, "Oh, classic, absolutely." And then Dion immediately will go, "Classic, commercials, love it, can't stand it." It's so funny. I'm literally at my house by myself, just dying laughing. There's been multiple times Ashton's walked in from the other room, like, "What you watching soccer? What's so funny?" I'm like, "Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. You'll be fine." It's such a hilarious moment there, because commercials during soccer is something that none of us are used to. I mean, that's got to stop. It won't, because they make money off of it. So good on them. And I guess that's time. If they ever put commercials during games, we should all riot. Because
absolutely.
Oh, definitely.
Absolutely. And see, I would be okay with 360 if they would, like, I don't watch NASCAR at all. Same. But I have walked in rooms with people watching NASCAR, and now they do a little thing where they shrink the screen a little bit and then play an ad beside it.
Yeah,
sure.
Just do that 360.
Sure. So you still have the game on because you're missing stuff happening. So it's like,
Yeah.
I absolutely love the fact that Dion, the West Virginian, has brought up NASCAR.
I do too. I was thinking the same thing.
Spot on. This guy here. I mean, sticking true to who he is.
He says he's not a NASCAR fan, but
NASCAR super fan.
NASCAR super fan.
Super fan. No, I haven't liked NASCAR since Dale Earnhardt died.
That's right.
That's when NASCAR died.
Who really has? You know.
That's when NASCAR died. Exactly. That's what I tell people.
That is so. No, but they need to like just have the, because like it seems that it's like classic every time, it seems like every time that somebody scores, they're going to commercial, and that's going to happen when you have 11 games on at one time. We got to stop that. Yeah, got to stop that.
That's
next
brutal.
Season. Got to figure that out.
That's brutal.
But again, they're stopping the season and for an entire month, you know, which is not, there's only one other league in the world. I shouldn't say that. There's another league in the world I know does that. That's Germany, but nobody else is really doing that. So that's a lot of, it's a lot of games, a lot of time that you're missing out. So I get the combined schedule. Let's talk men's national team, dude. Why did we draw with Jamaica? What's up with this? Why let me ask you, as a non-national team fan, I said this on your stream, not a non-national team fan. When the World Cup comes around big time, everything else, I'm kind of not really bothered. How come you and a bunch of other people get your hopes up this high for a team that is just always letting us down, dude? Like, what's up, man? What's going on, dude?
Because I'm hoping one day when I have this high hope, that this high hope is, you know, it's there. You know, I this is one of those tournaments that I'm not that big into. It's the Gold Cup.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's not our first team players.
Yeah.
Now, Jamaica, I'm pretty sure they had their first team players. I thought I saw Leon Bailey was out there. You know, they had their first team players. So we're playing with our second string. You know, there's a couple guys that would be in our first string or could be in our first string. But I mean, I did expect more. I expect them to go out and win every game in something like this, even with our second team. But it's not going to happen. And, you know, all this stuff that's going on, it has to affect the locker room some with, you know, this whole, you know, finally we hired Berhalter back, and but he's not coaching in the Gold Cup. It's still going to be BJ. So, like, things like that might play a little bit. I know that we came out in the Nations League and just killed it.
Yeah.
You know, because that's the thing. I think that they concentrate on that more now, the Nations League, than what they would the Gold Cup. Mm-hmm. And so, like, we see our first team players in the Nations League, but not the Gold Cup. My hopes aren't really high for this tournament because I really don't care about this tournament because it really doesn't mean anything. But, like, Nations League, yes. Like, I stayed up. I watched the final, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. This,
but the Gold Cup doesn't mean that much to me.
Jamaica played their starting 11. I mean, they had one, two, three, four, five, six Premier League players, possibly seven. So, I mean, those are guys that now you can argue all day the quality of those guys, but they're still Premier League proven players. And we had guys
but look at the quality that they played against.
Yeah, 100%.
Pretty much all MLS players.
100%. Right. That's what I'm saying.
And we grew with them.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. Fair. Yeah.
You can
fair.
Make that argument. Yeah.
Look at this guy.
I'm not trying to make that argument.
Look at this. Glass half full. Love it. Dion got a glass half empty guy right behind me. So
hey, I'm with Dion on this.
I'd love it.
Together they make a full glass, though.
Perfect. Perfect.
That is so funny. Yeah, what are your thoughts? I mean, we don't need to dive deep into the whole Berhalter thing. Do you like Craig Berhalter as the head coach? Do you think this is like the right move, or do you think this whole thing was you fire a guy to hire an outside investigation and then you hire him back? It's strange.
Well, I know that they didn't fire him. His contract ended.
Okay.
So it wasn't really a fire.
That's great info.
But I am one of the fans, and I'm very indifferent with this whole situation. There's days that I don't think that we should have went with him. And then there's, you know, times that I'm like, okay, look what he's done, you know, compared to, I mean, I watched that game where we missed out for 2018.
Yeah, same.
It was heartbreaking.
Yep.
It was heartbreaking.
Yep.
And for him to come in, you know, look at some of the dual nationalities that he has brought in, and, you know, we're trending in the right direction, but now is the time where, like, with him coming back, the expectations are going to be even higher.
Have to be.
And we've got to win games, and we have to win on the road.
Have to.
And that's our biggest – that's the biggest thing, you know, from a standpoint that we didn't – he didn't do a very good job in that sense. Yeah. He didn't win on the road with this team. And, again, people, you know, make the excuse with CONCACAF, you know, the CONCACAF stadiums and stuff aren't up to what they play on, you know, in Europe or even MLS. Like, but that's not an excuse. You have the talent. It doesn't matter. You grew up at some point in time, you played on fields like that.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? 100%. So I don't know. I'm very indifferent with him. I'm hoping for the best from him. I hope that he starts to take us and win games. That's what he needs to do in his job. I hope that also we play more of an attacking style football.
Yeah, no, I agree. The point you brought up about them playing on these fields, like a lot of these as Americans that complain about that, I laugh a little bit because I'm like, where do you know that has a world class soccer academy in the States? We don't have any. This is a growing sport here. We don't have any of that stuff. They're probably playing on these high school fields, you know what I mean? It's not, they're not paying on these.
They should hit up Toka football.
They should.
I was really, I was just gonna mention Eddie. Oh, yeah, I totally agree. That's funny.
That's funny. So, let me, who you're, you've got, I've got, you have Berhalter coming back. I don't have any opinion on it because, like I said, I'm not for whatever reason, unless it's the World Cup, big tournaments, I pay attention to see what's going on, but I'm not this, like, I'm not super deep into it. Your favorite players on the men's national team, who do you really like watching play, and who's, who do you think? Who do you want to see start? Do you think? I'll ask. Do you think Reyna's going to start? Do you think Reyna gets any game time that Berhalter's coming back?
He better.
Yeah.
I mean, if he doesn't,
I agree.
They're going to have to get rid of Berhalter.
I agree.
I mean, that because the fans will come after him.
I agree.
The way that Reyna is balling out right now, you can't not play him.
Yeah. He's one of our.
He has to be on the field.
Is he not one of our up and come? He's like the one of the guys that is supposed to be leading forward this revolution.
If you go back and see some a lot of the these analysts and stuff, like, they think that he has a higher ceiling than Christian.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. So, I wouldn't disagree either. So
I wouldn't either. But I was just gonna say I mentioned it on Dion's stream. I noticed that Michael was in it, and I said something about Michael doesn't like Pulisic, and then Dion, I think Dion thought I was kidding, but I wasn't really that kidding, actually, because,
I don't. It makes sense. Hear me out. This, as a non-U.S. men's national team, I don't want to say non-fan, but I don't pay attention. I don't, unless it's the World Cup, I'm not, like, diehard. I until this year, lived and breathed Chelsea, and this guy has been, I will say that, I've said it on the show, too, Chelsea have done this kid absolutely no favors, none at all. But we've done no favors to a lot of these players. But I do sit back, and this doesn't need to be a Pulisic bashing show here, because I can go on for a little bit. I do get he got injured, and that's 100% on Chelsea pushing this kid back in 2019, 2020, when we came back from COVID. Literally ran this kid into the ground because we just didn't have anybody to play out left. Ever since he came back from that injury, he's been so bad for Chelsea. He's been so bad for years now. And I got so many people on Twitter.
I think Chelsea's just bad.
Chelsea is bad. I mean, I said, we've done this guy in absolutely zero favors, but I watch him play for the United States and he's a baller. And then I see him come play for Chelsea and he can't dribble. And I absolutely, it's one of the reasons I'm going bald, dude. Like, I'm going absolutely insane watching this guy play. And he's going to leave. He's going to go off to AC Milan. I think that's an amazing move for this kid. I think he needs to get, he's good enough to play on one of these big stages for now. I think if he fails at AC Milan, we've got not the U.S. men's national team. It's different. I think that club status is going to be a bit changed because at the end of the day, he's really not done it at Dortmund or Chelsea. There was a game played against Burnley, and it's Burnley. Like, Burnley was super defensive back then, and he was bowling. He absolutely dominated. Yeah. He was winning headers in this game.
I think Pulisic is good, but I think he is a little bit overhyped, though, in my opinion. I think like, America has latched onto him so much, and I think that he's a little bit overhyped. I mean, that's borderline saying overrated, but, like, he's a little overhyped. Whereas I do agree. I actually think Gio Reyna actually has a higher ceiling than Pulisic, in my opinion, too.
I can't wait to see this Reyna kid. I don't watch much of the German league. I pay attention every now and again, and there was a little stretch there where he was balling and he gets injured, but I like this kid a lot. Now, that whole drama that he had with, you're spot on, by the way. Berhalter has to play this.
Oh, yeah.
You can't,
absolutely.
You can't come in here. That's your job as a coach. You can't come in there with this, like, set. No. Just because you're mad at his mom and dad.
Yeah,
like,
if you come with a
bot. Y'all have to be adults. You don't. Like, you have to. Put that aside. That's in the past.
Got to. Yeah, 100%. But no, I'm not not a big Pulisic guy. Can't wait for Chelsea to get rid of him. If you offered me a bag of peanuts for Christian Pulisic, I'd snatch those peanuts out of your hand, dude.
I couldn't. Oh, see, I would snatch Pulisic up. You know, he's one of my favorite players. I think Chelsea did him dirty.
Yeah.
The injuries have not helped him.
No, not at all.
But I also think that Premier League is not a league for him.
I agree. I
will say that. I think Premier League is just too aggressive.
Yeah.
And it's more, I think that's really what it is, because it's just very aggressive. Yep. And I don't think that he has the strength. You know what I mean? I don't know how to really put it, but the strength to, fight with the way he dribbles and stuff. And I think that going to an AC Milan, like, that's a good league for someone that has the skills, dribbling and all that. And I think that, and I hope that he does very well there.
As long as he
doesn't get injured.
Yeah, no, 100%. That's always the caveat here, but I spot on. I think there's a lot of people that think this guy can play in England and everything. And I think he's too small, and I think he's too fragile. And I don't don't know if that's so much a knock on him, but when you see him play for the States, you're seeing this kid have a free roam and have space.
Yeah.
He will never have that in the Premier League. He will have that in abundance in Italy because of the way they play. I think he's going to, I think he will cook over there. I really do. I think going to AC Milan is it's a good move. I do find it weird because where's his best position? This is one of the things I argue with men's national team fans on Twitter all the time when they tell me that Chelsea can kill. I got to say this. Chelsea bought Christian Pulisic the same summer that we had Callum Hudson-Odoi blow up, and then they also bought Timo Werner, who also plays out left. So we had three guys playing out left. We didn't play any of them out left for some reason. We've done this guy absolutely no favors at all. We put him out on right. Like, you can't do that.
The right wing back.
Right? Like, Tuchel came in and played him in defense. I was like, you can't. And this, he's one of, like, many that we've done this to. I'm like, and it's one of the reasons I'm okay with him leaving and a bunch of others, because we're never going to play them in their right spot, because a lot of Chelsea fans, this guy included, have already set mindset of this, of these players. So we've done this kid no favors when he has played and taken and played in his best position. He said this on Chelsea TV. He plays out left. When he has played out there, he's been terrible like the past 2 years. So I think going to Italy, I think he will open up the space for him. It's going to be interesting. Where do you think his best spot is as a player? Do you think it's out left? Do you think it's this free roaming 10? What do you think? I mean, Berhalter loves playing this kid everywhere. So what do you think over in Italy, how he's going to play? Because it's weird. AC Milan, I know I'm ranting, but AC Milan have Rafael Leao playing out left. He just signed a new deal. He's not going anywhere. So Christian's not going to take that guy's spot unless they put Leao at striker, which doesn't look like they're going to do that. I don't know about his best position there, but it's definitely interesting. I'd like to see Leao up top on the left and Christian play at the 10, but what do you think Christian's best position is?
I think usually he does play better out left, but I think, you know, we've seen him play at that free roam, you know, position where he can get around, and I think he's good there. But I think that naturally, you know, being out on the left and being able to cut inside to the right, that's his, that's like his go-to.
Yeah.
But like you said, you know, with him, I haven't really kept up with that league. So I don't know AC Milan that well. So I don't know who they have and where he would play.
It's going to be interesting.
Not a done deal, but it's headed that way.
Been linked. Chelsea, their AC Milan and Chelsea got a great relationship. They're buying Ruben Loftus-Cheek from us. And apparently right after that deal's done, which is wrapping up, they're coming in for Pulisic at 21 mil. We'll see. I think the Italian league is the best league. I don't think he should go to Newcastle. I think he should leave the England, because I don't think it's a good spot for him. I think you will really see where this guy's at. What about one more? One that I really liked for a while, man, but I don't really know what he does now. Weston McKennie. Are you a Weston fan? Like, there's a lot of Twitter people who don't really like Weston, don't know what he does. I like Weston, man. I don't know if going back to Juve is the right move, but what are your thoughts about Weston McKennie?
I like Weston when he plays for the U.S. I think for some reason, I feel, other than Gio Reyna, I feel like a lot of these players play their best when they're with the national team.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, besides like Robinson and like Ream for Fulham, like they show up week in and week out for Fulham, I feel like. But, like, you know, Weston, Brandon Aaronson.
Yeah.
I don't even feel like, you know, Musa. I don't feel like you really hear anything from him from his club.
Dest, never.
So, you know, I feel like these guys play better for their national team than they do their club team.
Agreed.
And, I mean, yeah, I feel like there's sometimes Weston is lazy when it comes to his club team.
Yeah, sure.
I will say that. I mean, I hate to say that.
Yeah, for sure. But it's just the way it is. It's an interesting one, man, where this team's going to go. Pay attention to that whole Greg Berhalter situation. You got to start, as Dion said, they got to win games on the road. They got to start winning these games. And you can't do this whole, I mean, it's so Mickey Mouse if you're going to hate this random kid because of his mom and dad. We got to move on. Yep. You got to play this kid. It's for the better of everybody. Coming back, you're going to have fresh Jordans on the sideline. Can't wait to see what he's rocking every single week. Love that.
Bounce passes.
That's right. That's right. Behind the back bounce. That's right. 100%. Before we let you get out of here, man, we're on an hour right now. Listen, we love having you on, dude.
Yeah.
This needs to be a
regular.
And it has been. And like I said, hey, very soon, September-ish, we're going to hit this DC United game. All four of us are going to be so awesome. This is why we wanted to start the show. to meet people like you, man. I love, genuinely, I say it here, I love coming into your live streams. I love watching that growth of your channel, man. It's so awesome. Before we let you go, Nashville food over there solid, or was it?
I love this. Is how all,
every this how question. They always end. I like love this. It. I do too.
Or do you?
It was good. We ate at, you know, multiple places. We ate at Miranda Lambert's restaurant there on Broadway.
Wow.
It was good. I ate there whenever I went there in 2021. It was good then. I had the Tex-Mex burger. It was phenomenal.
Dang.
Yeah.
It was good. It was good.
Yeah.
And then we did try the Prince's hot chicken.
There it is.
Sandwich.
Yeah. Good.
Overrated.
Yeah. Oh, all right.
Overrated.
There you go.
People absolutely love it. I thought it was. And I like hot, so that didn't bother me.
Yeah.
There was some flavor in it that it was just like, no. And then I will, one more thing.
Yeah, please.
What's bad is it was the burgers. There's this place called Pharmacy Burger. Hmm. I think that's what it's called.
Okay.
And they had a burger that had, you had bacon, some kind of ranch, barbecue sauce. And what really put the cake on it was the onion strings.
Yeah.
Mm.
On it. Yeah, oh, man. It was phenomenal.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Dang. All okay.
Right. Yeah. It was all good. Right. Pharmacy Burger in Nashville getting a shout out. The Prince, what was it? Prince Hot Chicken Sandwich. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Don't go there.
Yeah, that's right. That's
hey, don't tell Nashville people that. I know a lot of people love it there. Between there and Hattie B's, I will say Hattie B's is good.
Okay.
I had Hattie B's back in 2021. But yeah, I was not a fan of Prince's.
Nashville. Leans. How do you say that? Nashvillians?
I'm going to lose my head.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
Nashvillians.
Yeah, Nashvillians. Yeah, come hang out with us at US of Soccer Show or at Nerdy Soccer Guy. Let us know if you disagree with what Dion said or if you got any other spots that you should come hit up when we visit Nashville. Man, so awesome to have you on, dude. We appreciate it big time, dude. Big time. Like I said, big fan of the show. Yeah. Brian, anything to say before I close this out, dude?
Nah, man. That's all I got.
Alex.
Real quick question. Michael.
Yes.
Christian Pulisic now, Freddie Adu in his prime.
Oh. Freddie Adu in his prime.
Nice.
Nice. Good take. Good take.
Freddie Adu, DC United, 16 years old. That's it. Or was he 14 years old?
14.
That's
what I'm